Mr. Pip. The novel is set in a village in Papua New Guinea during a brutal civil war in the 1990s. The author, Lloyd Jones, covered the war there as a journalist. His writing reflects the realities of a daily life infected by violence, which he experienced firsthand. As Matilda, the 13-year-old narrator, begins her story, a blockade has begun. Helicopters circle, the generators are empty, and all the teachers have fled. Apart from the presence of pigeon Bibles, there are no other books in the village. Only one white man, Mr. Watts, remains. He has a home in the jungle, and he loves Dickens, believing in the power of literature to set minds free. Though not a teacher, he volunteers to teach the children at the village school.
We were enjoying our first day back at school. Mr. Watts kept an eye on us. He allowed high spirits. But when he spoke, we shut up. Now we return to our desks to wait for him to dismiss us and send us home. He spoke in that same quiet voice that had come as such a surprise at the start of the day. I want you to understand something. I am no teacher, but I will do my best. That's my promise to you. Mr. Watts thanked us all for turning up. I wasn't sure you would, he said. He said that at least we had Mr. Dickens. Who was Mr. Dickens? And why, in a village with a population of less than 60, had we not met him before? Some of the older kids tried to pretend they knew who he was, but it soon turned out that no one knew Mr. Dickens. Tomorrow, I told my mum, we meet Mr. Dickens. She stopped sweeping and thought. That's a white man's name. She shook her head and spat out the door. No, you heard wrong, Matilda. Mr. Watts is the last white man. There is no other. The next day, while we waited for Mr. Watts to wake up from his dream, I counted 3 lime green geckos and a pale one on the ceiling. A flower pecker bird flew in the open window and out again. That got our attention, because if we had been ready with a net, we could have eaten it. As the bird flew out of the window, Mr. Watts began to read to us. I had never been read to in English before, nor had the others. We didn't have books in our homes, and before the blockade, our only books had come from Moresby, and those were written in pidgin. When Mr. Watts read to us, we fell quiet. It was a new sound in the world. He read slowly, so we heard the shape of each word. My father's family name being Pirip, and my Christian name Philip. My infant tongue could make of both names nothing longer or more explicit than Pip. So I called myself Pip and came to be called Pip. There had been no warning from Mr. Watts. He just began to read. My desk was in the second row from the back. Gilbert Massoy sat in front, and I couldn't see past his fat shoulders and big hair. So when I heard Mr. Watts speak, I thought he was talking to himself, that he was Pip. It was only as he began to walk between our desks that I saw the book in his hand. He kept reading, and we kept listening. It was some time before he stopped, but when he looked up, we sat, stunned by the silence. The flow of words had ended. Slowly we stirred back into our bodies and lives. Mr. Watts closed the book and held the paperback in one hand, like a church minister. We saw him smile from one corner of the room to the other. That was Chapter 1 of Great Expectations, which, incidentally, is the greatest novel by the greatest English writer of the 19th century, Charles Dickens. Now we felt silly as bats for thinking we were going to be introduced to someone by the same name of Mr. Dickens. Perhaps Mr. Watts had an idea of what was going on in our heads, though. When you read the work of a great writer, he told us, you are making the acquaintance of that person. So, you can say you have met Mr. Dickens on the page, so to speak. But you don't know him yet.